Hello?
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 You pod.
To win the game. That's the great thing about sports.
You pod to win the game.
All right, welcome to You Pod to Win the Game. I am Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. He is Frank Schwab, senior writer for Yahoo Sports. Frank, I'm glad to have you back in. Aaron Donald went bananas in practice. Joint practices with the Cincinnati Bengals. Did the double Myles Garrett. Two helmets. Although if he appeared from the clip I was looking at, he only appeared to be swinging one helmet, but he was swinging the living hell out of that helmet. I don't even know where do we even begin. Like the league, this isn't the kind of thing where the league typically, there's a lot of fights in practice. You don't usually see the league suspend anybody. I mean, teams have suspended teams. Odds the Rams actually suspend Aaron Donald.
By the way, I haven't seen anybody that mad since somebody brought up the Masked Singer to you. So it was impressive see Donald throwing blows like that. I mean, the chances of the Rams being like, you know what, Aaron? Yeah, we're going to suspend you for a few games. Yeah, I it's about the same as me growing a full head of hair overnight. It ain't happening. It's not. And it's hilarious. But, I mean, the NFL is going to have to probably, like, readjust this. We see fights in these joint practices all the time. It's
all
usually just your
typical
football fights, right? Like, yeah, maybe you grab a face mask or whatever. This is Aaron Donald straight swinging a helmet, which Myles Garrett's got to be like, hey, if I had done that in practice, I wouldn't have got any games. Really? Like, that's all I had to do was wait till practice, joint practice. So something to Myles Garrett, I believe, got six games for, ended his season early. Aaron Donald's going to get nothing. That just doesn't make logical sense. So nothing's going to happen. We just got this clip right before we started podcasting. So we were both kind of frantically searching to see if anybody had been suspended for a practice thing before. And all it comes up is, you know, Martellus Bennett got suspended by the team, and Steve Smith once got suspended by the team. Michael Westbrook once got suspended by the team. The NFL's never stepped in as far as we can tell. And then Rams are suspending Aaron Donald. So he could basically just be swinging helmets like Myles Garrett and nothing's going to happen to him at all.
There are a lot of all these joint practices. It was funny because when I went to visit a team on the camp tour, I was talking to the GM and they were about to head off to some joint practices. And I kind of made the joke. I was like, you know, man, I'm going to miss it every single time I'm ever in joint practices. There's crazy fights. Like every joint practice I've ever been to, there's always been fights that break out and they get pretty heated, not just the typical, I'm pulling your face mask, you know, pushing. Like you've seen guys on the ground, you know, punches being thrown, all this stuff. We've seen it multiple times in joint practices this offseason. This is a cut above what normally happens. And I have to wonder, like at some point, the NFL, I wonder if they're going to visit this with the teams and say, because all the coaches are so hyper aware that these practices happen. Like wasn't on Hard Knocks, wasn't Dan Campbell. He like went off, right? Like he was basically like, he was like losing it if anybody was going to fight in practice.
Right, yeah.
Like he was like, you're not going to fight. Yeah. Right. And I mean, but after this, I would have to think that at some point the league, and it might be the league meetings coming up here in the fall, they make it a point to, you know, send a memo or something saying, hey, look, you know, if we're going to do these joint practices, or maybe it's next offseason, this needs to be a point of emphasis that you can't allow things like this to, you know, escalate to the level of an Aaron Donald, and maybe even alert teams that if someone's hitting guys with helmets in the joint practice, we're going to step in and start suspending those players.
Because do you think they could do that? Do you think they could legislate that? I mean, isn't that something the union would have to agree to as well? Because you're talking about, and all of a sudden, if I'm a coach, if I'm Sean McVay, I'm like, I mean, this is probably a little too extreme for this example, but if I'm Sean McVay, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, we get some benefit out of practicing against the Bengals, I guess, but if I'm at risk of one of my guys getting suspended over a fight and it's Aaron Donald for the Bills game, why am I doing this? Like,
okay,
I guess it's very rare. I get that, but it's still like, I'm sure that all of a sudden these coaches would be like, I just lost one of my players for a game over a practice fight. Like, I don't know that they'd want that.
Let's be real right now, too. Now, we have not seen what precipitated this.
Correct.
However, we went off on Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
You know, beating the living hell out of Mason Rudolph with a helmet. And I don't know how you don't have, depending. I mean, let's, I guess, find out what exactly happened with Aaron Donald. We haven't figured out what exactly precipitated the swinging of the helmet multiple times. And he was swinging the living out of
that
helmet.
Wasn't polite. Yeah.
Yeah. That was right. I don't know why we should feel any differently about this than the way we felt about Myles Garrett, right? We're like, there's no place for that. You can't bludgeon somebody with a freaking helmet. And I'm sorry. I mean, you're Aaron Donald. Like, great. Congratulations. You're a human being that could probably break most guys in half, including on the football field. You can't get away with this, no matter who you are.
Right.
And so, unless
we've all been practices, not necessarily joint practices where fights break out. Let's say a week from now, Rams just practicing against themselves and somebody tries to take out Aaron Donald's knees and start swinging the helmet at him. Would the NFL be able to then step in and say, swinging helmet's not okay, we're suspending you for something? Crossing some lines here. Frank, the NFL does, and I agree, they can't let this just happen. Like, there's got to have to be some point of, hey, if you do stupid stuff during practice, we can suspend you.
There's some egregious. Yeah, I mean, I was at a Seahawks practice when Frank Clark broke the jaw of the offensive tackle that had been a first-round pick of the
Afidi?
Come on. Jermaine Afidi. And when Pete came off after that, like, and I think this was before Pete knew that, Afidi had the broken jaw, like, Pete was furious. Like, he was just, so you have to think, Aaron Donald does this to a Rams player in Rams practice, they're probably not going to suspend him because it's Aaron freaking Donald. Right. But at the same point, like, I don't know. I still would want to send a message. Like, if I'm Sean McVay and he does this to another player, I'm like, bro, we're going to fine you $100,000 for that. Like, we're going to do, like, this is, you can't be beating the hell out of somebody with a helmet. I don't know why. You know, I mean, I guess McVay can go ahead and feel however he's going to feel. It's the other team, whatever. It's different when it's the opposite team and emotions are running high. The bottom line is the act is the act. I don't care there's very few things that could have been said or done to Aaron Donald beyond we've heard some foul stuff that happens, like, you know, pile ups, you know, you hear mm-hmm. about, you know, grabby hands, guys, you know, squeezing some nuts. Like, you know, this is true. We hear about this stuff. And I could see how that would lead to someone freaking out. But this is a freak out. Like, that video was nuts.
Part of these fights, Charles, is these don't happen in games because guys know they're going to get suspended. If they do in games, practice, it's like, whatever, let's go. Let's play the feud. Right. I mean,
there's
what
flag.
Is
there's no
repercussion. You just could go brawl with somebody and it'll end up on Twitter and everybody will have a good laugh. But I mean, like, again, like, but I just wonder... clearly, NFL is going to have to look and say, okay, we have to at least put some kind of a line of demarcation for these joint practices. There's fights at all of them. But, like, even, like, the Giants had a big brawl in training camp amongst themselves. Do they legislate that, too? And I don't know where it goes. But, yes, you can't. It's funny that we're both sitting here watching a Aaron Donald clip, which is absolutely insane. And we're both like, yeah, nothing's going to happen to him because there's no precedent. And Rams ain't going to suspend him. So he's just going to be swinging helmets and nothing at all is going to happen.
You think there's any chance whatsoever that the Rams... I mean, I could see the Rams fining him. I just don't think they're going to suspend him.
No chance suspension. None. I'd be blown... Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine Sean McVay saying, you know what? It just was a bad look. He's not going to play against the Bills on opening night. Like, come on. Like, no, not that dude. Like, yeah, no. You know,
they're going to keep him happy. Let's wait to see, too, what the... I don't think... In my mind, I don't know if there's necessarily anything that can happen on a football field that should lead you to doing the windmill into somebody's head repeatedly, even though,
I mean, Myles Garrett said that Mason Rudolph, you know, I mean, there's that
said something racial.
Yes, right. And I don't know that that's ever been proven, disproven, whatever, but I mean, it didn't matter because you still, like, you just can't swing a helmet at somebody. Like, it just, you can't. Like, it's just nothing. That's what one of the lines in the NFL you just can't cross on the field. You can't start swinging helmet. I remember that night when it happened. By the way, it was Thursday night game, if I remember right. And I'm just wrapping up. I'm ready to go to bed. I'm tired, man. I'm really tired. And that game was out of hand. And
yeah,
I'm ready to get the post done. All of a sudden, Myles Garrett starts swinging a helmet, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be up for the next 4 hours writing about this. And I was like, I remember, like, comparing it to, like, Malice at the Palace, and And Aaron Donald did the exact same thing, basically. It's just happened at a practice instead of a game.
Well, this is going to be a thing. I mean, it is blowing up right now on social media. It is. This is like nuclear. I wrote about the Cowboys today and, you know, Tyron Smith having the I love it when you write something and then you're like,
that's
totally gone. That's dead. That was 5 minutes ago and it's the NFL, so that no longer matters. Well, we'll see what the fallout is for this. I mean, this is going to be really, really interesting. I just don't see the league. I don't see the league not injecting themselves in some way, shape, or
form. I don't know what jurisdiction the league has over it. I agree. Yeah.
There's going to be some calls made. There's going to be some talking that occurs. Correct. So, moving on from that, we will be able to talk about that, I guess, if there's additional fallout heading into next week. I did mention Tyron Smith. He suffers a knee injury. I kind of had to blast Jerry Jones on this one. Like I it's interesting because I remember one of the things that I remember from the camp tour that was really interesting. You go to Cowboys camp and you sit there and you listen to Jerry Jones and it's just like he said he has this curse of being eternally optimistic or only seeing the team's successes. That's the only way he thinks through, you know, things and all this stuff. And he thinks we're better positioned this year than we were a year ago. And I'm just looking at the roster. I'm like, man, you've made some bets on health here where you better hope everybody holds up. One of those being the offensive line, the wide receiver position. There's some health issues here, which got worse after I left camp. And yet Jerry Jones is just going on. I expect us to go to the playoffs, blah, 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 all this stuff. Then I end up going to Denver. And I think it's interesting because it really struck me. I'm with George Payton, the general manager at one point. Every reason on earth, right, for Denver to be optimistic. You know, like I'm in camp there. I'm like, hey, you got Russ. You got your quarterback. You got this. You got that. Da, 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 da. I'm like, I'm throwing the kitchen sink at him, right, expecting this guy to take the Jerry Jones sentiment, right? Like, hey, everything's great. George Payton's like, we haven't done shit. Like, that's exactly what he said to me. He was like, I think he rattled off, he's like, Kansas City, I forget the number, but I think he was like, you know, Kansas City's beaten us 13 straight games. When was the last time we were in the playoffs? Like, he's just like, when? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, this is two different ways to approach an offseason where you lose a bunch of stuff and you're sitting there going, it's great. And then you're, you know, the Broncos and George Payton, you gain a bunch of stuff and you're like, man, we ain't done nothing. It doesn't matter. I don't even want to talk about it. Those are two general managers. Jerry is an owner, but he's obviously a general manager. Tyron Smith hurts his knee. What are you going to do now? Lyle Collins, you save some money. You let Lyle go.
Yeah, it didn't say that much either. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't. I mean, like 10 mil or whatever. But I mean, when you look at overall, when you look at the cash that they have under the cap right now, they totally could have retained him. Now you're talking about sliding a rookie into your left tackle spot, which, I mean, we'll see how they end up sorting this out. But the offensive line's a mess. And then, of all the things, Jerry Jones gets on ESPN, and he starts talking about Ezekiel Elliott. Like, we go, Zeke goes, and all this stuff. And I'm like, as he was saying this, I'm like, you know what, man? Let me go back. Okay. Terrell Davis was the last running back to win a Super Bowl MVP. A large portion of the Dallas Cowboys roster wasn't even born yet guy won.
Right.
And by the way, find the last Super Bowl winning team that was a running back dominant bell cow situation. It's good luck. I mean, maybe Marshawn Lynch in Seattle.
But they were deep. There's so much defense.
It's so much defense, right?
Even though Kurt Warner was winning MVPs, I might argue Marshall Faulk was the engine of that team. But you're right. I mean,
that's a while ago, man.
I was going to say, like, this is a lifetime ago, basically, not a failure. It's like that. We're talking 20 some years ago. And yeah, Jerry's an odd one. For him to say that was just like, wow. And not even like, we're not talking about Jonathan Taylor or a healthy Christian McCaffrey, or we're talking about Ezekiel Elliott, who's been declining every single year.
Wild.
Everybody thinks Tony Pollard's better at this point. The Tyron Smith, look, I was really high on the Cowboys. We've talked about that. Higher than everybody else, just because I thought they were really, really good last year. Everybody argued with me. Everybody was telling me, you know, you're too high on the Cowboys. You Cowboys fans. Now I'm like, yeah, I might have been, because I think one of the few guys they couldn't lose was Smith. He is one of the non-quarterbacks. He's one of those elite players at a position where they were already a critical mass. They could not lose anybody.
Right.
And now Tyron Smith is done, and they say until December. I'm worried that this is his career. Like, he's 32. He's not been able to stay healthy. If he comes back in December, well, bless you, Tyron. That'd be impressive.
And don't you think that's another, like, example of Jerry's optimism hurting this team? Because he's already saying, well, he'll come back in the middle of our playoff push in December. And I'm like, what the f*** are you talking about?
Sounds bad. And Tyron has had trouble staying healthy at that age, which happens. I mean, it's a long grind in this NFL career, and he's had trouble staying on the field anyway. And now they've lost at least three starters from last year's, when you count Connor Williams, Lyle, like you said, and now Tyron Smith. All of a sudden, it's bad. This is a bad, bad injury for the Cowboys. We don't talk about offensive linemen too often, but this was one they could not afford, and he's done, I think, for the year probably. I don't know. This is all of a sudden the Eagles look really good in that division. I'll just say that.
It's just to bank on he'll come back into set. By the way, massive human being. Okay,
right.
Like, it's not like a normal 300-pound dude who just gets out there on a knee injury and everything's fine again. It's problematic to me. I think, and I kind of, this is what I end up writing about, is like Jerry has this, I call it like the distortion field, where every player, the way Jerry imagines every one of his players, the way Jerry sees them until they're, it's time for, contract,
renewal, or whatever. Negotiations.
Yeah. But he's like, it's always the next thing to come from that player when you hear Jerry talk about him, it's always the ceiling. Well, Zeke, we go as Zeke goes, and Dak's an elite quarterback, and this guy and that guy, and this guy's going to be great, and that guy's going to be great, and we have da da da. And I'm just like, this is how you end up in the position that you end up with. And it was funny because I got one of the best things when Jory Epstein came on, who obviously covers the Cowboys for USA Today. When she came on a couple weeks ago, she had a great point where she's like, part of the problem with the team is the culture of believing that you're still this great champion, everybody, you're the defining, team, and you haven't been that in decades. And yet you still every year think you're that team. And that's why things like this tend to happen, because Jerry is still living. Let me ask you this real quick. Is it possible that Emmett Smith just f***ed Jerry's head up so bad that he's sitting there and all he can remember is that at their greatest moments was when they had a running back who carried the team. They had the triplets. We know about the but the guy, the dude who Charles Haley put his helmet through the frickin' wall because he needed that guy to get his contract done. Is it possible that Jerry just is having a fever dream and can't get out of the Emmett Smith era in his brain?
It's very possible. I mean, again, what happened in 1994 in the NFL, 1993, when Emmitt Smith last won MVP, it's an entirely different game. Literally, the game is 100% different. And if you can have a good running back and still have success, but being just like, Ezekiel, we go as Zeke goes, that's how many teams in the NFL, successful teams in the NFL, are really that dependent on running back? Maybe the Colts, that's about it. The Titans, obviously. It just seems like it's one of those, has the game passed him by? But also, I also take everything Jerry says with a grain of salt. He just says crazy stuff and whatever. He doesn't care. Like, he's Jerry Jones. It doesn't matter what he says. I don't know if he really, I don't know. I guess he really believes that. And it's crazy if he does. I guess he is the guy who gave Zeke how much did he get? What was the contract? I know that the salary cap number was legitimately eye-popping when I looked it back up this year. I was like, oh my God, they're paying Zeke that much. It's just, he's just stuck in kind of a bygone era when it comes to value on running backs. And it goes back to what he drafted Zeke over Jalen Ramsey. I said a draft night. Like, what are you doing? Like, no, you don't draft a running back at 4 overall anymore, especially when a cornerback is right there and he might be the best player in the draft.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just... This to me, and we might as well look at the NFC East here. I have no clue now what this is going to look like, because that line, when the line previously went to, and now granted, this is not even without, as you said, it's effectively losing three starters from last year, still not worse than a couple of years ago when basically they had lost everybody, when they had not, it was like everybody was down all of a sudden. And then eventually, obviously, Dak got hurt. I don't know, man. We'll see. I think they got to make a move. I think if there's a lineman available,
and they're not like Dwayne Brown's off the market. Like they could, they would have been a perfect signing for them. Here, but he's well off with the Jets. Like
here's one for you. Here's one for you. And John McClain brought this up. John McClain here in Houston, obviously longtime Texans beat writer. The Texans forever, Laremy Tunsil. I think they have been considering a Laremy Tunsil trade, whether to do it or not to do it, ever since Caserio, Easterby, the turnover happened with the Texans. I think I always felt like Tunsil's on a clock here. Like they'll unload him at some point. Dallas might give up something for that guy right now. Honestly, like they might sit there and go, you know what? Like this is probably it for Tyron Smith. Like, let's be honest. Yep. Like it's like it you can't.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. He's been just hurt so many. He's been a long time
every since he stayed healthy. Single year. Yeah.
And great player. Great player.
This is not to disparage him, but if you're making the transition and you're Dallas, maybe you look and you go, Tunsil is, you know, and by the way, the kind of quote unquote guy that Tunsil is in Houston, why he doesn't fit, quote unquote, fit in with this new regime. I think he fits in fine with Dallas. Dallas is good with some dogs. I don't think they have any problem with Laremy Tunsil maybe not being, you know, the super straight arrow that the new Houston Texans are looking for.
He's a good player. Yeah. And you can see that would be a Jerry type of move to make a trade for him and whoever, whatever pick they trade for. Tunsil's still at a prime age. He's still got a lot of years left at that position. He could sign into an extension and get enough value.
I'd call if I was Houston. I would call.
And be like, I mean, the only thing when you get rid of a left tackle like that, you worry like, is this setback Davis Mills or we can be able to function? But get enough for Tunsil, if Dallas is just desperate and says whatever, let's say they just go with what they got and they don't make a huge move at left tackle. Do the Cowboys win this division? Can they? Like, I can't. Of course they can, but will you pick them? I'll pick the Eagles all day. I was picking Eagles already before this.
Okay. So,
Cowboys, it's going to be really hard for me to see them win a division with all the losses they've had.
I think Philly has a chance to be, I think they're going to go as Jalen Hurts goes, but I think Philly, I'll tell you what, I went through their camp. Offensive line has a chance to be special.
Yeah. Okay? Top five now, in the league, at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have said in the past recently, I said, hey, it's a little dicey there. And people have been like, what are you talking about? What I mean is get them all healthy, keep them all healthy. See if you can get the offensive line to play an entire, you know, fairly, let's say 90% healthy season across the line. If they can do that, that unit will be sick. And the skill positions, obviously you add AJ Brown, you know, you've got Devonta Smith, you're loaded. I mean, tight end, every spot right. When I went through there, I'm like, man, the offense looks great. Defense looks really, really good. By the way, your defensive coordinator is a guy that's going to be, draw interest in head coaching jobs.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah. They got two top 15, 20 corners if, wherever Bradbury lands this year. Yep. They got a lot of dudes up front. Jordan Davis is just wrecking dudes in camp. Like, yeah, I love the Eagles. It comes back to Jalen Hurts. And I've railed about this. There's this myth that you need an elite quarterback to make a Super Bowl. Well, was Jimmy Garoppolo elite? Was Jared Goff elite? Like, was Nick Foles elite? Like, there's Eli Manning wasn't even elite. And I know people get
only one of those guys won, though.
But I mean, whatever. If the 49ers cover Jet Ship Wasp, Jimmy Garoppolo wins the Super Bowl. Like,
but they didn't.
That is nothing. It's splitting hairs
he overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. Okay,
that was not. I hate when people just dog. Like, I'm not even a big Jimmy G guy, but when people dog him so much over that play, that was not a layup. He didn't. Yes, he didn't win, but they came this close to winning. Like, okay, whatever. They easily could have won.
They didn't though.
So could the Rams in that game. But
they didn't. Though.
They made it. But Nick Foles did. Nick Foles can't. Is Nick Foles even on a roster right now? Is he an Indian?
Okay, I gave you credit for Foles. I said you're 1-for-3 Eli in that comparison.
Eli won two. He's just a guy. Even though he's going to make a Hall of Fame. Like, it's just, we get this, you have to have an elite quarterback. There hasn't been a league MVP to win a Super Bowl since Kurt Warner. You talk about a million years ago. It's not necessarily that. And Jalen Hurts, I think, is good enough for them to have a really, really good season. Whether it ends up in the Super Bowl, I don't know. But everything around him is great. And Jalen Hurts has like 21 career starts or something like that. I mean, it's a low number. I don't know it off the top of my head. But there's nothing that says he can't get better. He's kind of guy who gets better pretty much every season of football he plays. I don't know why he can't get better now with A.J. Brown to throw to. Like, a great offensive line in front of him, and Sirianni's second year calling plays and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really, really high in the Eagles. I think they can come out of the NFC. I really do. Like, you look at the rest of the NFC and the contenders there, everyone has flaws. Everyone, you can make the Buccaneers offensive line and no Devontae Adams with the Packers and Super Bowl hangover at the Rams and Stafford's elbow and Donald maybe getting suspended for the season. Nah, but it's one of those things where I can talk myself into Eagles, right? I can't really see the, like, I'm talking myself down on the other teams. I'm talking myself up on the Eagles because I really like what they did this offseason.
I'm with you. Going through there, I was like, Howie Roseman, the GM, we're kind of sitting there and I was like, dude, your team, and he didn't necessarily disagree with this. Like, he was very clear. The plan, of course, is for Jalen to be the guy. Like, they want Jalen to be guy. You know, talked to Nick Sirianni when I was there. Everything was about how do we measure him from not only the data points that we're going to look at constantly and crush all season long, but also the intangibles. Everything is geared there for them to go, if he's the guy, there's no question in their mind it will come out this year. Like hammer lock, lockdown, it's his job. He's not going anywhere. If he's not, I think they know, they're acutely aware that when the next offseason comes, there's going to be no more attractive team for a veteran quarterback. Like, right. We see these veteran quarterbacks who get traded in the offseason. Well, if that happens again for the third year in a row, Philly's the place. That's the spot.
You're right.
Like, there's team there. Quarterbacks 100%. Are going to be like, send me to Philly, man. Like, I'll go to Philly and win a Super Bowl. Or they have, obviously, the ammunition in the draft to maybe make a play.
And even this year,
something
gets really overlooked with the Eagles. They have the best backup quarterback in the league, I think. All right, let's count Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, Minshew. And let's say they're 5-5 and Hurts is just struggling and struggling, and they go to Minshew. He could do it. Like, I think he's a very, very good backup.
I wouldn't want him to be my starter, like, long term.
But it's like in a team like that with a good team around him. I'm not saying next offseason, but even in the middle of this season, let's say Hurts gets injured because he runs a lot of that. That does happen to those guys. I don't even think that they would suffer. So, oh God, our season's over. No, it would just be, all right, Gardner Minshew's in and we got a different offense, but he can run it. I just really respect what Howie did all off season. I thought it was just a virtuoso performance.
I give him credit. I mean, they definitely rotated out of a bad situation with Wentz where I was like, oh man, this could bury them for a while. And it didn't at all. It's pretty remarkable how good of a job that he did to not only position themselves with picks, to not only position the team pretty well cap-wise, the talent's there, the offensive line. I mean, there's no question Howie Roseman's done a really, really kick-ass job. I'm with you, though. I look at the division. I think, I could see the Eagles winning the NFC East. But that also has to do with the reality that when I look at the rest of the division, you know, the Giants... You tell me who's going to start more games this season, Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor? I don't know if I can answer that. I honestly don't.
I can't discount what you're saying. I get it. Like, if this regime has nothing to do with Daniel Jones, like, whatever. Like, he stinks. Let's move on. If he starts slow, I can see that. And also with the Giants, everybody's on this Brian Daboll bandwagon. Maybe Brian Daboll is the next great head coach. Maybe he is. I don't know. But why do we always give Daboll credit for Josh Allen. How come nobody ever gives Josh Allen all the credit for Brian Daboll? If you look at Brian Daboll's resume without Josh Allen, it is not great. He has not had a great team other than the years where Josh Allen became a superstar. And we all just want to say, oh, Daboll made Josh Allen. Look at all the... Well, Josh Allen had a lot to do with that too. So I'm not sold necessarily on Daboll being the... He could be. I'm not saying he's not, but I don't know necessarily that he's a difference in them becoming a 10-win team or anything. The Giants are an underrated train wreck. They really are. In this century, they've only won playoff games in two seasons. Those two seasons ended in Super Bowl wins. And I get it. Like, you can't just yada yada that, but... They have been absolutely horrible since they beat the Patriots, the Mario Manningham catch game. They've been horrible since then. And why would I believe them now? Why would I believe in the Giants being any good? And Washington, you overpay for Carson Wentz. I'm not exactly jumping on your bandwagon. Like, okay, whatever. I don't think either of those teams are any good. And now I just wonder, can Dallas compete? Because they've suffered a lot of losses now.
You could come out of with the Giants, you could come out of this season realizing, hey, guess what? Scratch the quarterbacks. Let's start over there. Hey, guess what? Scratch the running back who was supposed to be the savior. That's done.
Yep.
Scratch the number one wide receiver that we paid a gajillion dollars for. He doesn't look like he's going to work here.
And all the receivers, like Kadarius Toney, was a first round pick. And he can't stay healthy. Okay.
I mean, absolutely, you could exit the season with it being a burn it down type situation, and with the roster. And then, and you know, what are they going to say? They're just going to blame Gettleman.
Yeah, I'm Gettleman, gonna be like, hey, everybody, man, it's not everybody in New York's like, yeah, like I said,
It's the crosstown Mike Maccagnan moment, right? Yep, I mean,
And you get a couple more years, but yes, a lot of people are high on the Giants. I've heard people being like, the Giants could be really good. I don't see it. I guess if Daboll was the reason Josh Allen became great, and he could do the same with Daniel Jones in that offense, sure. But I don't know if it
made. Come on, the talent isn't even remotely comparable.
Not to me.
Good Lord,
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Washington. I hate to boil it down to. I don't like the fact that Chase Young. Behind the eight ball there health wise. Like, okay, what, you know, how healthy is he going to be? When is he going to be on the field? What's that going to look like? Can he get back to being what he was, you know, really when he entered the league? I'm not a fan of, I can't buy into Wentz. Like, I can't, sorry. They're trying so hard to sell this. Who's the kid? I'm having like a total brain freeze, right? No, the running back that they drafted out of Alabama. Brian Robinson. I like him. Brian Robinson. Love him. I love Brian Robinson.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I watched him in the preseason. Like, that dude runs hard as hell. He gets hit, keeps going. Like, I mean, I was watching him. I was texting guys like, yo, like, this dude is a dude. Like, he only had one huge season at Alabama, but God damn, like, he might be great. Right. I do like him. I can't get over Wentz being who he is. And I don't know. And God bless Ron Rivera. I love Ron Rivera as a head coach. I just don't know that you went through a staff in Philly that tried everything, had every reason to make it work with him. It didn't work. Then, you know, the staff in Indianapolis tried everything, had every reason to make it work there. They pulled remarkably quickly. And it was like, from ownership to the janitor was ripping Carson Wentz after he was gone.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know, so I'm like, Washington to me, and I hate to say this, but it's true. Washington, not really the place or environment where most players go to suddenly resurrect themselves in stop three.
Right. And even if we're kind of neutral on Carson Wentz, and to be truthful, Carson Wentz is an upgrade for them at quarterback.
Oh,
doubt about it. They overpaid him, but he is an upgrade. But what about the surrounding cast? Yeah, I like Brian Robinson too. Do I think Brian Robinson is Derrick Henry? No. Like, he's not carrying that offense. He's a nice piece. Terry McLaurin is one of the few, like, blue chip, absolutely set it and forget it. You are a very good football player. Where's the rest of the supporting cast?
Keep
the offensive
him on the
line
field,
took
though.
A hit.
You gotta be healthy.
And even that. Yeah. The offensive line took a hit in the offseason. Like you said, your Chase Young thing is kind of troubling. Like, you're still not there yet. That's bad. They do have some guys up front on that defense, but they weren't good last year. Like, that defense was pretty bad last year. I thought they were going to be good, and they just weren't.
They repeat last year, Jack Del Rio getting fired. Like,
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised.
Like, forget all. Yeah, I know. Well, forget all the other stuff that he's brought to the table and unnecessarily brought. I mean,
you talk about the teams that have the fewest blue chip guys. Washington's in that conversation. I mean, they only really probably have three, four. One of them's out for the start of the season, and Chase Young. Like, it's just, I don't see the talent there in Washington to make Wentz better. I could see it last year with the Colts, and it didn't happen. I don't know why it would happen with Washington, because they're a worse roster than Indianapolis was.
Okay, so I think we agree. We kind of like Philly after the Tyron Smith injury. We kind of like Philly as sort of being a team that we feel like the totality of them, they should maybe be given the nudge at the top.
Do you think Cowboys make the playoffs? Even if we have the Eagles as NFCs, whatever. But do you think the Cowboys are a playoff team? Because I remember, and we joked about it, when you were like, everybody's going to be scared to play Dallas in the playoffs. They were good last year. They're really, really good.
They were, but here's why I'm going to say no.
NFC's not that hard.
The line is worse. Okay.
Much worse. Much worse.
At this stage, you know, and I'm going to assume that I'm going to do what Jerry won't and assume that Tyron Smith's not coming back, you know, just because I'm going to try to.
And even if he does, who knows?
And if he does, then great.
Look, everybody's been waiting on David Bakhtiari to come back for the Packers for 2 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so line's worse. Backfield, I have now, I don't care what Jerry says, to me, Zeke is Zeke. Like, he's always going to be the player you're waiting to get better, waiting to get back to what he wants. It reminds me of, like, late career Herschel Walker, where it was like, when is Herschel going to get back to being that guy when he was the dude, and he just never did.
Yeah, it's just running back life cycle, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, backfield, the wide receivers are beat to and honestly, I want to see CeeDee Lamb prove that he can be the gangbusters number one that a lot of people thought at one point he could be. Fair. Okay, well, let's see. Like, because this has got to be, I want to see that 1,400 yard, like, hey, I'm pushing for like all pro type status, because they're going to throw it enough. They damn well are going to throw it enough. You know, Dak, at the very least, I think Dak is healthy this year. I don't think he was healthy last year. I'm curious to see what happens if he starts to get beat up. Dalton Schultz, I like him at tight end. Okay, so offensively, it's not the group it was last year. I don't expect it to be a more prolific team offensively this year, at least based on where the talent is. I could be wrong. Fine. Defensively, I think they have a chance to be a very, very good defensive team. They're coached superbly. My guess is this will be it for Dan Quinn. This will be his last year with Dallas. I would be surprised if he did not end up with another job. He was remarkably close this last offseason. I will say, though, you look at the defensive performances they got last year. Give me the guy who has a chance to fall flat in his face. I know in my mind.
Yeah,
I'm just curious
if it's Trevon Diggs. I think everybody in the world is like, those interceptions, they're gonna come in bunches again, and you gotta cover somebody actually and not just live off of big plays.
You will agree that like the package for him. If you're going to give up the yardage that you give up, you're going to give up the yards per catch and all that stuff. What balances that out? You have to produce the mass bunches of turnovers, and then that ends up balancing out the equation, right?
Ultimately. It does. It helps, yeah.
Okay. But you can't drop off in terms of either.
And that can be – interceptions can be very fluky, man. Like, you can't roll out the balls and expect 10 interceptions. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, he's good at making those plays, but I think he's got to get better as an overall player. But – yeah, yes. All of a sudden he becomes a liability. Ugh, all right.
See, like, now he a step forward to me, and I'm curious if you agree with this, would be less interceptions, but he shores up some of the coverage.
Course.
You know,
I'd so, much rather so have he becomes that. If I was a Cowboys, better coverage. I'd love that trade off because
that's what I would rather have, right?
Yeah. Because interceptions can be pretty fluky that way. But yeah, but the defense as a whole, I think, is going to be good. I think DeMarcus Lawrence is going to have a nice season. I think Micah Parsons is just a beast, and I think they do make the playoffs. I think they somehow find a way into the playoffs. The offense is going to take a step back. No Cooper, those three linemen. But they were the number one offense in the league last year. I mean, they could fall off a little bit and still be top 10. I think the defense, well coached, like you said, is going to be good enough. And the NFC, whoever makes the NFC is the seventh seed. Yeah, they wouldn't make it in the AFC if we were in the AFC now.
I will edit my – yeah, I do think they can be a player. Because now that I think about the overall state of the NFC – playoff spot.
Look at all these losses. They're going to be an 8-9 team. I'd be like, that's a little far for me to go, but okay, they make an argument because I'll listen. I mean, this could end up being, it has the markings anyway of just this season where nothing at all goes right.
They should be able to beat Washington twice. They should be able to beat the Giants twice.
Yeah, it doesn't always work that way, but give them 3-1 right there. You know, I mean, they get upset here somehow, some way.
Okay, they should be able to split with I will give them a split just based on it being a get-up game, right? Okay, so split with the Eagles. So let's say they go 3-1. So that's 4-2, right? 2-4. I'll give them the sweep over the Giants and Washington. Honestly, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and say 5-1 inside the division. I mean, to me, what gets you in? 10 wins?
Nine is the NFC. Yeah, NFC 7 season.
Nine and eight.
Who is it going to be? Would we do this? We're going to do season predictions soon. You start to fill it out, and in the AFC, you're like, oh, my God, I'm leaving really, really good teams out, and I look stupid. Then you get to the NFC, and you're like, how do I get to seven teams? If you start doing the math, it's like, I'm talking myself into, like, the Lions. I'm talking myself into Arizona, who I really, really don't like this year. The Panthers, like, whatever it is. Some seven seed's going to be just ridiculously bad and get blown out in that first wild card weekend game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you, though. I feel like we've stacked it up fairly accurately. Now it'll flip. it'll be the Giants will win the division.
Washington will be the Dayball's a genius. I always said so. Don't go Philly, back and listen to August 25th podcast.
Philly be 5-12. like, all right, let's move on to the. I want to talk about the NFC West. Pete Carroll. We gotta start with this because Pete Carroll. God love him. Okay,
yeah, but like Pete, yeah.
We have two number ones, bro. You don't have two number ones.
No,
I'm sorry. No, you do not have two number ones. No. You may not have two number twos. Okay. Drew Lock and Geno Smith. I'm a proponent of all quarterbacks playing great. I wish we had 32 teams where every quarterback played great. So I'm particularly Drew Lock. I'm like, I wish it would just all click into place. The pre-draft things that I heard, the things that Denver loved, all of a sudden he just gets it on track and he turns into all this, you know, he clearly has an immense amount of talent. It falls into place and he just becomes, you know, Jake DeLone with the Panthers, somebody who resurrects themselves somewhere in their next stop, right? I hope that's what happens with him. I tend to believe it's going to go more like Sam Darnold, where it's you're going to get a season of him and go, ah, man, he's just, it is what he is, and we got to start looking.
I'm not a fan.
So to me, good luck, DK Metcalf, man, because you're gonna go, you are gonna get everything in the kitchen sink thrown at you. It's probably gonna be a frustrating season. Thank God you got paid now before you had to go through this. Defensively, I mean,
oh, it's looked rough. Oh my, I don't know how much you really pay attention to preseason results. I try not to, but sometimes it's so obvious where you're like, uh-oh, this is really bad. And if you watch Seattle this preseason, offense and defense, I guess. It's like, this is bad. This is really bad. I mean, I don't know. They might really bottom out this year. It's tough to put them at like two wins because they're always pretty good. Like they do things unconventionally. They win more games than I think they should, but man, they're not good. They're just, it's hard to get optimistic about the Seattle Seahawks this year.
Yeah. It just feels like it's a,
and they're playing tough
one more year. Yeah, they're playing a tough division.
It's everything's against them.
I just wonder like at what point, I don't know that Pete steps down, but I'm like, I wonder at one point, John Schneider will get another head coach hire. Absolutely. No question. I don't think Schneider's going anywhere.
No, nor should he. I think he's done a good job.
No, I don't think
they're unconventional, but hey, results are the results.
It's been John's had some empty spots since some of his greatest drafts. Now that said, you know, I still think he's a quality general manager. Mm-hmm. I still think he can hire another head coach. I don't know that you want to sit there and go, we're going to try and rebuild with Pete and then win when he's 80, you know, because like,
I know,
I mean, you laugh, but seriously, what's
Pete?
I know.
73. I think he's in his 70s. He's older than Belichick, which is always, it's always a stat that blows me away. That he's older than Belichick. It's only like a couple months, but yeah, I get it. And the game, like I laugh, we both laugh a lot at some Pete's things and just how it's so outdated and,
he's 70. So, I thought he was older. Okay, he turned 71 in September.
70. I thought about 70.
He turned 71 in September.
Yeah.
But still,
so, it's gonna, still you getting up there.
He's going to be 75?
Whoever takes over his job might be half his age. Like, really? Like, that might happen. So, yeah, this is going to be a really interesting year for Seattle. But it's a good year to be bad if they are, because the quarterback class next year is loaded, and they probably just restart then.
Every time I look at Pete, I don't understand how he's that old.
I know he looks, yeah. I hope they look that good when I'm 71.
Pete is every flight you and I've ever taken. It's the in-flight magazine, whatever it is. The I'm a 70-year-old doctor, clearly on HGH. from the head up, I look like I'm 100. From the neck down, I look like I'm 30 and in Gold's Gym every day. Like, so maybe Pete coaches till he's 90 and then he starts to look like he's 70.
Yeah. Pete's it's amazing what the energy that dude's got. I hope I'm that spry when I'm 71. But yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that they're in for probably a really long season.
Rams, I think the Rams, I mean, if the Rams.
Do you worry about Stafford? I mean.
I do.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. So yes. Explain to me why.
So when I went through what I got was, hey, not a big deal. Yeah, sure. He was shut down. Mm-hmm. Just a rest thing. Yeah, he's going to be on a pitch count in the preseason, but that is not because of anything that happened in the offseason. It was part of the plan. We're going to just let him rest all offseason. Then as an extension of that, we'll put him on the pitch count in the preseason because you don't want to screw up, you know, whatever progress you just made in the offseason. Cool. and then we ramp it up. And so they have treated it like the entire process was a shutdown and ramp up process. It's gone exactly how it's supposed to go. And now Matt Stafford's going to be able to throw it a bazillion times, throw 500 passes a season, and, you know, be completely fine. Now, that said, every other place I went through, when they would ask, you know, where I'd been or whatever, and I'd bring up the Rams, they all kind of did the same thing with Stafford. They're like, man, that's not, you know, that's a bad situation. You should be worried about that. Anytime a guy has, and although I'm not into this stuff, the guys who kind of look at the body mechanics of quarterbacks will tell you that Stafford has a lot of torque on his elbow, the way basically how he handles himself, how he throws the ball. There's just a ton of torque there. And so I don't know, man. I take my cues from the other teams that seem to think that an elbow is extremely, extremely worrisome, maybe even more than or as much as a shoulder. I mean, I guess. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
Really?
You know, I'm not.
Michigan State didn't give you that medical degree?
They took it away. Michigan State, we don't have a good reputation of producing doctors.
I would look, the Stafford stuff is a little troubling, but I think if it was that bad, they'd have shut him down by now. I really do. I don't think they'd have him out there throwing in practice if they were that worried about it. And I covered in 2000, I was covering the Packers, and Favre had elbow tendonitis, same kind of thing. And it just, he played through it. And he kind of just, that's the thing. Do I think Stafford's going to miss any games? I don't. Do I think Stafford might be 90% of what he was, 85% of what he was? Yeah, maybe, because I saw that happen with Favre in 2000, and he kind of just struggled through it a lot. And I could see Stafford being out there, but the margin of error in the NFL is so small that if Matthew Stafford goes from throwing, and this isn't specific, but goes from throwing a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, all of a sudden those passes to Cooper Kupp, those no-look passes that he's completing, are knocked down or they're intercepted. Like, so I do worry about it a little bit. I just worry about the Super Bowl hangover. Like, that's a real thing. You get all the way to the top of the mountain, and it's hard to do it again. It's hard. There's a reason. Everybody's gunning for you. You get the Bills on opening night. Like, you're not just starting against the Jets in East Rutherford. You get the freaking Bills on opening night, and it's your whole season's like that, where you're just playing everybody's, you know, kind of circle the game on your calendar game. I worry about them a little bit. I don't know yet. I know we're going to talk about San Francisco and I can gush about Trey Lance for a bit, but I might be picking them to win the division just because, you know, it's just hard to repeat what the Rams did last year.
The world we live in where he's banging on Stafford, but he's gonna sit here and tell us how wonderful Trey Lance is.
Trey's going to be good, man.
I can't wait to get into that. Good. I will just say this.
You're going
to
clip this.
Stafford has amazing set of receivers. They're going to end up getting – I believe Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be back in the fold there. It's, you know, defensively, I like the front end. I love the fact they added Bobby Wagner. You know, I it's a damn good team. Like, to me, personally, I think you don't win the division. And if they don't, like, if they're not an NFC, you know, championship game team, I'm like, something went wrong. Like, that's not right. Like, they're built in this NFC to me. It's a very repeatable type of return. As you said, Super Bowl hangover, we'll see. Stafford's elbow, we'll see. I like the Rams a lot. That was before Aaron Donald started playing whack-a-mole with a freaking helmet. I hope that we'll see what happens coming out of that. All right, San Francisco, though. I'm going into San Francisco. Now, you said a lot of positive things about Trey Lance. So what I ended up doing is I went to my DVR, and I was like, you know, let me go back and watch his best moments. I think throwing the football were moments where almost any other quarterback in the league should have succeeded in those moments. I'm telling you, go and look, you know, the long touchdown pass that was replayed over and over again. Go and look where the receiver was.
He's always open by freaking four yards.
Like,
he could have let it even better. I didn't think that was a great throw. I thought that was a Danny Gray highlight more than a Trey Lance highlight. I'll be honest with that. But you go back and look at last year and, you know, he played basically in two games and he played, I thought, pretty well against Houston. You're gonna be like, oh, the Texans defense stinks. Go back and look at that pass he made to Deebo Samuel, that touchdown pass. That's not a play. Like, at some point, Kyle's looking at that film going, Jimmy can't make that play. I, I can't call that play and have Jimmy do that. Like, he can make those splash plays. Everybody acts like he was terrible last year. He had a 97 rating. I mean, I'm not saying pass rating is like the be all end all. I'm not, but people act like he was just Drew Lock out there. He wasn't. He had a bad game plan given to him at Arizona where they were just like, I don't know, figure it out with your legs. I don't even know what Kyle was doing in that game. It was a terrible, terrible game plan. They did not put him in position to succeed. He played one other time, played against the Texans, and I thought he looked perfectly reasonable. And here's a kid who was the third pick of the draft. He had all the talent in the world, and he's throwing to Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle with a great run game and one of the best play callers in the NFL in front of him. A defense that in the second half of last year was probably the best defense in the NFL. I mean, look at what they did to Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. Look what they did to Dallas in the playoffs. I don't know why he can't succeed. Well, if nothing else, it's just the situation is so good. And it's still a kid who was the third pick of the draft who the 49ers traded the moon for to go get. And I don't think I've seen anything that leads me to believe he's not that guy. Like, I want to give him a chance. I want to believe in his talent. Do I look at his preseason film and go, oh my God, he's here. He's arrived. I did that with Mahomes a few years ago. When Mahomes had his first season as a starter, that preseason was like, whoa, this kid's good. I think he went MVP, but he was really good. I haven't said that about Lance, but I just fall back to this as a talented kid and awesome situation. They're going to be a really good team, and I think he's going to be a big part of that.
I see it as the NFC West version of the Eagles, right? A lot of the same sure. hallmarks yeah, yeah, of yeah, what we like good. About. Mm-hmm. We're like, all right, you know, look at the surrounding team of, you know, Jalen Hurts, man, you can really see the pluses. It's the same with San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Surrounding team looks very good. It's very, very strong defensively, offensively, plenty of skill position pieces for him to work with. He probably has better. I think probably I would say there's no question in my mind he has a better arm than Jalen Hurts. I think, you know, from a just a tool standpoint, like which one of those two guys would you draft based on the tools, the height, the size, what they bring to the table? Yeah, I mean, a draft, obviously. I would say the 49ers have the right guy between those two. Like, Trey Lance is the dude. But I am, again, I don't know, man. I watched his preseason stuff. Thought it was okay. I think teams talk about ball location so much, right? Mm-hmm. And there are times where I watched him complete balls where I'm like, I don't know. That's probably not the best location. And you would want to sit there with Kyle Shanahan and be like, tell me why that's the right location where he threw it. Now, you know, sometimes I'm like, was he throwing it away from a defender, or was it just a throw on his part? And it looked like he was trying to keep it away from a defender. I can't tell. And then when I read the coverage of the people there watching him in practice, there was definitely a lot of question mm-hmm. about how accurate could he be? Was he going to be erratic? Is he processing things fast enough? Like, he might be great. And this is one thing I want to mention too. We hear particularly about him. We heard about how great he was on the board. Oh my God, he was unbelievable on the board. Just boom, 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 boom. It's interesting when you go through in training camps and you talk to, you know, quarterbacks, coaches, offensive coordinators, and some of them will tell you some guys aren't the greatest on the board, but then they get out there and they get, once they see the pieces in front of them, they process it differently. And they're so much better in live situations mm-hmm. than when they got to sit there on a board and kind of break it down. And sometimes there's the inverse quality. They're great on the board, but the second they're out there and teams start disguising things, or someone's not in the perfect place, or the route gets yeah. broken off, or there's
that's
a sight adjustment.
Heard about Joey Harrington. That was the one of the examples, right? Like, he was like, he could show you everything on the board and tell you everything needed to be done, and then he got into a game and one thing went wrong, he just couldn't process after that. Yeah, so yeah.
Darnold's a guy who, once it gets out there, it's funny because I think Baker Mayfield in that room is the opposite. I think Baker's probably not the greatest guy on earth when it comes to the board. But I think once he gets on the field, they see things where they're like, okay, he definitely seems to, some of what he does.
What Kyler Murray said about himself. Like, I'm not studying film 50 hours a week, but I can see it. I can see it when we get out there. Yeah. So I get it. I get that there's different types of quarterbacks that way. And I just, again, there's been nothing that Trey Lance has done, unless we're going to really nitpick him over like preseason throws. There's been nothing that leads me to believe that he's not like that. He's not the same dude who 83 passes ago was the third pick of the draft.
You will so easily throw stuff out that actually is measurable. We're going to actually You're gonna put the data in it,
man.
Trying to go back to when he was drafted based off of one college game. And by the way, that one college game, his last year, half of it was horrible.
Go back to the season before. He threw like 48 touchdowns.
I feel a bet brewing between Frank and I before the season starts.
Man. I am riding or dying with Trey Lance. I am planting the flag. I think we're going to get to the end of the year and be like, this was, they made the right pick.
I can't wait for these.
Good player.
Clips. I can't wait for this. I'm hopeful for you, man, because these are gonna look really bad unless you're
I'm in, man. I'm betting on the talent here. And again, the situation's so good. Kyle Shanahan, RG3 kind of fell apart after his rookie year, but go back to the rookie year where Kyle Shanahan's calling plays. Like, he turned RG3 into a star that year. He turned Matt Ryan into an MVP. He turned Jimmy Garoppolo into a quarterback that can't lose and should have won a Super Bowl. I don't care what you say, Charles, about they didn't win a Super Bowl. Yeah, okay, whatever. That's all on him. Kyle Shanahan can make this kid into a really, really, really good player, and so can Ayuk, Samuel, and Kittle. Like, the situation is so good for him.
You're so bizarrely willing to throw out things that actually happened in favor of what might happen.
You're saying like Jimmy Garoppolo can't win a Super Bowl. Like, he came like literally like, you're like this close. Like,
never,
like,
what do you never doing? Mind the actual results oh, with Jimmy. God, oh, never mind oh, those God. Passes that Trey Lance threw in the preseason. You're like, let's just throw all that out.
The preseason's nothing. I remember Brandon Whedon looking good in preseason. Like, good. Whatever.
I'm glad you and I have a disagreement, because this feels like something you and I are going to pick over all season long. Speaking of picking over things, let's go back to your head coach of the year at midseason candidate, Cliff Kingsbury, and the Arizona Cardinals, the last love affair that Frank had on this show with those true. Cards
maybe
that
true.
Promptly imploded. I'm not coming off them as a team that has a chance to be fantastic. I felt the same way about them 2 years running now. Or I'm like, man, this really could be a great team. I don't know how to explain. Well, that's not true. I do know how to explain it. And so I guess I would just say this. Keep the guy healthy. Because from what I've heard, 2 years in a row, he was jacked up the second half of the season. Was not healthy remotely either of those seasons. So I'm like, okay, maybe the answer is just keep him freaking healthy an entire season. And he's going to have to play a part in that, right? Yeah. Man.
He's got to be smarter running the ball, getting rid of the ball in the pocket and all that kind of stuff. And the thing about the Cardinals, Kyler was a big part, and his injuries were a big part of that, because, I mean, you looked, and I think they were 7-0 at one point, maybe 8-1, whatever they were. And you think about the wins they had, and you think about the teams they beat. Like, I'm usually pretty good at being like, that team's a little fugazi. Like, yeah, they're 7-0, but who would they beat? They destroyed the Tennessee Titans week one on the road. The Tennessee Titans ended up being number one seed in the AFC. They won with Colt McCoy at the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco 49ers should have made a Super Bowl if Trubisky Tart can catch a pass. I think they beat the Rams in the first half of the season, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, they were beating good teams. They were a legit 7-0, and it just fell apart. Pretty much starting with the Green Bay game, where Green Bay had like nobody to play and everybody thought Arizona was going to run them, and Rodgers kind of pulled one out of his hat and Murray got hurt in that game. I think a high ankle or something like that. So yeah, it just fell apart for them. So, and now I don't know what to make of them. I just don't know. I don't like the vibes coming out of Arizona. Obviously DeAndre Hopkins suspension, not good in any way, but you could talk yourself into, hey, once DeAndre comes back, they're going to have Marquise Brown. They're going to have Rondell Moore should be better. James Conner had a good year. Kyler. You can talk yourself
Marquise
into it.
Marquise Brown's got some issues too. Like, well, I mean,
slow down, kid. Yeah. He should be driving 102 or whatever. But you could talk yourself into the Cardinals being really, really good again, because we're not that far removed from them being literally the best team in football. When they were 7-0, they were number one in my power rankings, and it wasn't even close, because they had beat quality teams that beat the heck out of them in some cases, and then it just fell apart. So what do you do with them after that? I don't know the answer to that.
Like I said, I mean, to me, the one thing that changed so significantly was just that, you know, Kyler Murray's beat up.
How do you avoid that? Because you can't take away some of and you're never going to make him that much bigger. He's still 5'10", 200, whatever he is. I don't know, but you're never going to make him bigger. You're never going to say, don't run it ever again, because, well, then you're taking away a big part of what makes him great. So I don't know. I don't know where Arizona goes from here. I really don't.
Okay, so to recap then, the NFC West, We're going to differ on this a little bit, I think. I think it's Rams, and it should be, to me, Rams should dominate this division. Like
the 49ers swept them last year in a regular season. Should have beat them in the NFC Championship.
Okay, fine. I still think the Rams, you know, I look at the Rams, and if everybody's the difference for me versus the difference for you is that you believe Trey Lance is going to be the dude that the 49ers need him to be. I'm not on that at all. I'm good luck. Like, okay, we'll see. I'm nowhere near thinking that right now. I'm surprised by your total conviction that Trey Lance is now, if you ask me, could he be? If you're like, Charles, do you think, is it possible Trey Lance is actually going to have a fantastic season and they're going to, yes, absolutely. I'll give you that. It's possible. And I'm trying to think in my mind, quarterbacks who I was a little, okay. I said last year, Ja'Marr Chase. I'm like, come on, this is ridiculous. We're all killing this guy. And it's just the preseason and he flipped a switch and he was fantastic once the regular season started.
Let me ask, were you high on Lamar Jackson for his second year? Won an MVP? Were you high on Patrick Mahomes before his second year? Won an MVP. Both in pretty good situations. A lot of people remember Patrick Mahomes going in the second year. He was a wild run and shoot.
Okay.
He could just run air raid. That's all. He's just a runner. He's not a great player.
I'm not ready to just automatically put him into the potential box with someone who's got arguably some of the best arm talent we've seen in decades and decades in Patrick Mahomes, or is just as wildly dynamic, even above a Michael Vick level, dynamic type of like crazy player that Lamar Jackson, particularly that MVP season was. He was doing where you're just like, this is insanity what this guy's doing.
Great. I love Lamar.
I'm not ready to put Trey Lance there. Now, if Trey Lance comes out and pops himself into that group, I would be willing to say I didn't see either of those seasons coming. Of course I didn't. I had no clue Patrick Mahomes was going to be a god year two or that Lamar Jackson, like literally every game, I'm like, oh my God, look at what this guy's doing. Totally possible. And if he's that guy, then absolutely everything falls into place for the 49ers and they're going to be an absolute beast. That said, I look at the Rams top to bottom. Maybe I shouldn't like that they seem pretty relaxed when I went through there. I thought it was a good thing. Maybe I should be more worried about Aaron Donald trying to kill people on the practice field or not. But I feel like the Rams have in this NFC, it's stacked up for them to repeat. And now if they don't, I'm very curious what happened. I will be extremely curious why they were not able to put it together. We'll see. Those two teams, though, yeah, I could see it dueling out. Arizona, as much as I want to say that, hey, I think Arizona can put a complete season together, after two straight years, I learned my lesson. I thought last year, this is it. That was an anomaly. It's not an anomaly anymore now. It's a trend. And if it happens again, now I'm starting to go,
well, now Cliff ain't going to be around no more.
Saying. Like, is there like a firing that's got to take place at the head coaching position to get over this hump? At least we agree on Seattle. Well, we agree on Arizona and Seattle, right?
Like, yeah. I think both of us have Seattle 4, Arizona 3 with some potential
upside.
Yeah, yes. There's some potential to be good. And I probably will end up being San Francisco number one, just to be a little contrarian.
I hope the top three teams in that division make the playoffs. Like, I think those would be fun.
Yeah. Arizona's like, a fun team, man. They really are. Kyler's got it cooking. He is a heck of a fun player to watch. And DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, very fun. And I think Marquise Brown's going to be a good fit for that offense. Kyler's going to air it out to him a few times a game. I like Arizona. I like watching him play. I just can't trust him. How can you trust him after what's happened in the second half? Each of the last 2 years, it's been so similar. And that no-show against the Rams in the playoffs, my goodness. Oh. It's one of the worst efforts you're going to see out of an NFL team. That's why it's just hard for me to buy into them being a playoff team this year.
Now there's the added layer of what we didn't have before, which is like when Kyler struggles, we're not just talking about now. It's the whole, is he studying? Like anybody who thinks that's not
going to.
I know.
Oh, like, it's going to come up. We will be sitting here on a Sunday night on October 13th or whatever it's going to be. And we're going to be like, well, Kyler didn't look too prepared. And let's talk about this, you know, this thing going around on Twitter or whatever.
Somebody will do a meme.
Yes. It's going to follow him for a long time. And it's not fair, but that Cardinals screwed that up. I mean, that's their fault on that. But yes, it's something that's going to follow him and it adds an extra layer of scrutiny that he just didn't need at this point in his career.
All right. Sounds like we agree on the NFC West. So that's the NFC East, NFC West. We'll continue to work through these as we go through the remainder of the podcasting schedule. Next week, what's our date next week, Brett?
Want to chime late in? Monday, late Friday.
Late Monday, late Friday. So that's what it looks like, the 2 days next week. Frank, appreciate you coming in. Anything you want to roll out, let people know, check out.
To join my Trey Lance fan club anytime. Could be setting up that website right after we get off of this podcast.
You are buying into Trey Lance. Hey, I hope you're right, man.
No, don't tell me. No, that, I'd be dunking on you all season.
No, not at all. I will take that because I legitimately want every single. I even want Carson Wentz to ball out.
It's always fun when quarterback play in the NFL is great. The NFL is great.
Yes, I want to see every single guy. I mean, hell, Carson Wentz. If you go through my timeline, he threw one of the most impressive passes I saw last season. Like, broke it down on my timeline.
Then he had moments where he's throwing left-handed interceptions.
I also have some of those too. I appreciate it. Thank you, Frank, for coming in. You can get Frank on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. Frank's going to be the co-pilot the rest of the way through the preseason, as much as our schedules allow, so we can break down the remainder of the divisions. So look forward to that. And again, once again, Monday, Friday next week, keep an eye out. As always, help us keep Therese Paylor's legacy alive. Hit up BreakingTea.com/Therese for the All Juice tea or hoodie. Proceeds from those purchases go to support the Therese Paylor Scholarship in his name at Howard University, as well as the scholarship in his name at Power Mizzou. If you want to donate to either of those directly, check out our podcast description. It'll give you the information you need to make that contribution. You can get me on Twitter at Charles Robinson. You can get Brett Rader at Brett Rader. And check out our mothership at Yahoo Sports. Leave us a 5-star review. I haven't checked in a while, but I'm sure we could use 5-star reviews, especially after I got torched by all the aggregators a couple days ago for having a rant about aggregators. I got aggregated by the aggregators who are angry about my rant about aggregation.
Very meta.
Very meta. It is smooth brain moment for sure. Yeah, so if you could leave us 5-star reviews, we would definitely appreciate it. Until next week, we'll see you on Monday. Peace.